Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we debunk the media's breathless virtue signaling over George Stephanopoulos' interview with Donald Trump. We explain why the U.S. women's national team should not, that's right, should not be paid the same amount the men are paid. And finally, we answer some of our favorite audience questions just for you. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show. All right, everybody, admit it. You think cybercrime is something that happens to other people. Now, I want you to stop really quick. This is a product that I use. You want to protect yourself? You don't want to have your credit card information hacked? You don't want to have your emails hacked? You don't want to have your text messages hacked? You need a shield. You need a defender. You need a way that you could protect yourself because you're out in the open. If you travel, you go on public Wi-Fi, you go to Starbucks, press Starbucks Wi-Fi, you might as well just say, hey, everybody, here's my credit card information. Do you want it? You got to protect yourself. That's why you need ExpressVPN. I use it all the time. Right now, as I'm recording this podcast, I have my ExpressVPN on three different devices. Boom, boom, boom. The VPN in the upright corner, I know I'm protected. Everyone needs an ExpressVPN. Just like how people put locks on their doors all throughout the 60s and 70s, people never used to lock their doors in the 40s and 50s. Fast fact, we'll probably do a podcast episode there in the future. Now everybody needs locks on their phones. What's the lock? It's called ExpressVPN. They're the best. They're rated number one by TechRadar, and they come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Use the VPN that I use. There's all these kind of people saying, oh, you need this protection. I'm telling you right now, this one works so well, and it will insulate you and protect you from foreign actors, from people that might disagree with you, from hackers, you name it, hiding your public IP address and encrypting your data. Whatever app you use, it will run seamlessly in the background on your computer, phone, or tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. One click. I do it every day, all the time. Every time I turn my phone, boom, ExpressVPN. I see it. I can breathe a little bit easier. I see it. Okay. Whew. I'm good. I know that somebody that might disagree with me, if very, very far away, they might say, hey, Charlie's been too tough on this issue. They might try to hack my phone. I say, no, no, no. I got ExpressVPN. So protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie. This is a great way to support the show and protect yourself. What a great way to do it. You get to make sure the Charlie Kirk Show keeps growing and you get to protect yourself. That's value for value. We love free markets. Do it right now. expressvpn.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today to the Charlie Kirk Show. We are surging on the charts. Just appreciate everyone listening and engaging. So we're going to dive right into it today with the fakest of all fake news stories. As soon as I saw my push notification from CNN come on my phone, and that's right, I do subscribe to CNN push notifications just so I can see what the other side is seeing and saying, I saw a headline that says, Donald Trump says that he would take information from a foreign government. I said, all right, hold on a second. I immediately know that there's more to the story. And then I pop open my Twitter feed. And this is what I love about our president is he immediately goes to Twitter to debunk the fake narratives of the media. So you could go straight to my Twitter feed. And the president essentially explains his interview with George Stephanopoulos. Now, before we go any further, George Stephanopoulos, it's not talking to a journalist when you're talking to George Stephanopoulos. See, George Stephanopoulos tries to make it seem as if he's a very neutral, down-the-middle arbiter of truth, when in reality, you're talking to a Clinton campaign operative. George Stephanopoulos, let's rewind history a little bit, George Stephanopoulos was the White House Director of Communications in the Clinton White House. George Stephanopoulos donated $75,000 to the Clinton campaign. George Stephanopoulos has been in the pocket of the Clintons, best friends with the Clintons for years. So Donald Trump was not engaging in an interview with George Stephanopoulos. He was engaging in a debate with George Stephanopoulos. Big difference. So George Stephanopoulos begins his line of questioning rather innocently and then dives in immediately asking about my friend and friend of this program in the Charlie Kirk Show, Donald Trump Jr.'s testimony in front of Congress. And essentially, George Stephanopoulos asks what he thinks of Don Jr. And the president, rightfully so, stands up for his son, calls him a terrific guy, and he is a terrific guy. And the president is just repulsed and disgusted by his son's treatment. And so the president, in his tweet, talked about how no one plays the full clip. So you know what? We are going to play the full clip here on the Charlie Kirk Show, and I bet many people listening to this right now have not actually heard the entire clip. Let's listen to it right now.
Your son, Don Jr., is up before the Senate Intelligence Committee today. And again, he was not charged with anything. In retrospect, though,
by the way, not only wasn't he charged, if you read it, with all of the horrible fake news. I mean, I was reading that my son was going to go to jail. This is a good young man, that he was going to go to jail. And then the report comes out, and they didn't even say, they hardly even talked about
him. Should he have gone to the FBI when he got that email?
Okay, let's put yourself in a position. You're a congressman. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I have information on your opponent. Do you call the FBI?
I don't think it's coming from Russia, you do.
I've seen a lot of things over my life. I don't think in my whole life I've ever called the FBI. In my whole life. You don't call the FBI. You throw somebody out of your office. You do whatever
you want. Al Gore got a stolen briefing book. He called the FBI.
Well, that's different. A stolen briefing book. This isn't a stolen. This is somebody that said, we have information on your opponent. Oh, let me call the FBI. Give me a break. Life doesn't work that way.
The FBI director says that's what should happen.
The FBI director is wrong.
Your campaign this time around, if foreigners, if Russia, if China, if someone else offers you information on an opponent, should they accept it or should they call the FBI?
I think maybe you do both. I think you might want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent. Oh, I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI if I thought there was something wrong. But when somebody comes up with Oppo research, right, they come up with Oppo research. Oh, let's call the FBI. The FBI doesn't have enough agents to take care of it. But you go and talk honestly to congressmen. They all do it. They always have. And that's the way it is. It's called Oppo research.
So in that clip, you heard the president go back and forth with George Stephanopoulos. He makes some great points. First of all, he's exactly right. Who calls the FBI after something like that? I mean, you just go, oh, I had a meeting. I'm going to go call the FBI. Secondly, you talk about so many people that have actually done this that have not been called out with it. So the president, again, was not having a conversation with a journalist. There was not an interview being conducted. It was an interrogation by a Clinton campaign operative who disguises himself as a journalist, George Stephanopoulos. And there actually was a true instance of foreign collusion. We don't have to talk about hypotheticals. We don't have to talk about things that don't exist. Because the president was just dealing in a hypothetical of a hypothetical. And what the president was really saying is, this happens all the time in this town, and you guys are trying to attack my son for actually not doing it. He didn't accept any information. The meeting was about nothing. There was no follow-up whatsoever. The Mueller report looked and looked and looked into Don Jr. and looked into the Trump campaign, and they found nothing. But we don't have to look to hypotheticals. We have a real example, a tangible example, a proven example of somebody, not a Republican, accepting information from foreign intelligence, foreign governments, to try to harm an opposition political figure. Let's listen to the great Senator Lindsey Graham. And can I say before we go any further, Senator Lindsey Graham has been one of the great surprises of the Trump presidency. A guy that I did not agree with much before Donald Trump has become one of the most loyal, stalwart defenders of the president, the Constitution, due process, the rule of law, and our country. So let's listen to the great Senator Lindsey Graham comment on the president's interview with Clinton campaign operative George Stephanopoulos.
I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake of law. I don't want to send a signal to encourage this. And I hope my Democrat colleagues will be equally offended by the fact that this actually did happen in 2016, where a foreign agent was paid for by a political party to gather opposition research. All those things are wrong.
So as you heard right there, Senator Lindsey Graham talks about, we actually do have a piece of evidence where this happened, the Steele dossier. So let's back up a little bit. What on earth is the Steele dossier? I actually get these questions all the time. And for those of you that know this stuff backwards and forwards, and you read all those forwarded emails that come to you that you got to scroll and scroll and scroll, and you watch Hannity every night and you know these facts, this will be nothing new for you. But so many of our listeners here reach out to me and say, hey, Charlie, can you walk through what exactly Fusion GPS is? Is that some sort of nuclear reactor? No, it's not. What is the Steele dossier? I'll walk you through it. Okay. So there is a firm in Washington, D.C., called Fusion GPS. This firm does all sorts of different type of work, but they're mostly known for opposition research. So Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party engaged in a financial relationship with Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS then took multi-millions of dollars. So Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party paid Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS took millions of those dollars to go concoct and to create what is now famously known as the Steele dossier. I'm going to tell you in a second why that is so important. Now, who is Christopher Steele? So Christopher Steele is a former British spy who's essentially now a gun for hire. So Fusion GPS, with the money that they got from Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee, then contracted Christopher Steele to create a dossier. A dossier with one particular goal: to make Donald Trump look as if he's bought by the Russians. So Christopher Steele goes to then Russian contacts, goes to Russian intelligence, and puts together the now debunked and faulty Steele dossier. Now, I want you to understand the connection here. Hillary Clinton pays Fusion GPS, knows what she's paying for, and gets a dossier in return for that from foreign intelligence, from foreign governments. Not only did she just take a meeting, not only did she just ask for a little information, it's even worse than that, folks. She paid for that information. She actually knew specifically what she was going to get out of a foreign citizen, a foreign national. And then she contracted for it. Now, what was in the dossier? In the dossier was all this nutty stuff that was then used. This is super important. The dossier was then used to obtain a warrant, what's called a FISA warrant, to spy on Donald Trump. So they concocted this fake dossier. They cooked it up. They then used the dossier in a FISA hearing. Now, mind you, FISA hearings are not yet public. So when you hear, release the FISA docs, declassify everything, you might see that on Twitter every once in a while. That is the grassroots. That is the base. That is people like me asking the president to make it known exactly what was asked for and what was put forth in front of this FISA court judge. And so we actually don't know the identity of these FISA court judges. Just so everyone understands, the FISA system is meant specifically for national security. This is domestic surveillance on U.S. citizens and people in the United States. So sometimes it might be foreign officials, sometimes it might be foreign citizens that are passing through the country. And so they used this fake dossier that was funded by Hillary Clinton, that was funded by the Democrat Party, to then go spy on Donald Trump. And so when you see the president talk about, they spied on me, they did. And this was all approved by and authorized by the cast of characters of Jim Comey and Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok. Some would argue, and I would argue, this is the insurance policy. This is the insurance policy that later got disclosed in FBI agents' text messages. The FBI agent text messages, Peter Strzok, that he was texting back and forth with his lover, if you will, President Trump gave him that name, Lisa Page, where he said, don't worry, we have our insurance policy. We're not going to, quote, let him win. And we in the conservative side believe that the insurance policy was this dossier. I want you to think about this for a second. When you're in a presidential campaign, your resources are super limited. I've been around a lot of campaigns. You know, I volunteered for the 2016 presidential campaign. I traveled the country with Don Jr. And we were flying coach a lot of the time, eating Snickers bars and Diet Cokes and snatching Monster Energies. I wouldn't trade those experiences for a lifetime. But I know how far you have to stretch a dollar. I know how far you have to go to try to save resources. And to spend millions of dollars on anything, you better have a pretty good reason for it. So I want you to think about something that I don't think is talked about enough. To use millions of dollars from a presidential campaign for a piece of intelligence, you better believe you're going to get something in return for that. You better believe that that piece of intelligence is going to maybe be an insurance policy. Maybe it's going to help insulate you in the future. Or maybe it's going to be used as a political weapon against those that you want to see fail. So millions of dollars that were used to fund the Steele dossier through Fusion GPS is highly suspicious. But it gets even deeper, and it gets even worse than that. The top level of the FBI, there's a gentleman by the name of Bruce Ohr. Bruce Ohr's wife works for GPS, or at least worked for GPS while this dossier was being concocted. That's pretty suspicious, isn't it? So Bruce Ohr, who was working with James Comey, Bruce Ohr, who was working with Andrew McCabe, Bruce Ohr, who was working at the highest levels of the FBI with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, his wife, the person he went home to every day to have dinner, hey, honey, how is work? It's going great, honey. You know that insurance policy? It's almost done. Don't worry. Now, I'm being somewhat facetious when I say that, but of course this was a topic of conversation. How could a woman that was running Fusion GPS, whose husband was helping run the FBI, how was this not communicated back and forth? As an expression that I've heard many times, these coincidences start to develop and make a pattern. And this pattern can be used as evidence to show that Hillary Clinton did indeed do which she accuses the other side of. And so when President Trump invites George Stephanopoulos, Clinton campaign operative, $75,000 donor to the Clinton campaign and former head White House communications director, next time he invites him in for a conversation, the president should say, "Hey, George, I got a question for you. Are you perfectly comfortable with the very people that you used to work with contracting Fusion GPS to go hire a former British spy, a non-U.S. citizen, and a foreign national, and a foreign spy to go after Russian intelligence agencies to go get faulty information to go use against a United States citizen and someone who likely could become president of the United States?" They are accusing Donald Trump. They are accusing the White House. They're accusing this presidency of the very sins and crimes that they themselves committed. And a lot of this information is going to start to come out rather quickly, whether it be James Comey, whether it be Samantha Powers. We'll get into that. There's a whole deal to uncover about the amount of unmasking that happened towards the end of the Obama administration, the abuse of power surrounding that. And time again, you see an all-out offensive by the media to try to frame Donald Trump, to try to make it seem as if he was the one that was doing these things, when in reality he wasn't. So I want you to ask yourself the question. What is worse? Taking a singular meeting in Trump Tower that resulted in nothing under the auspices of adoption. And there's actually even more depth into this Fusion GPS issue. So Fusion GPS, again, is the firm, opposition research firm, that Hillary Clinton contracted, that the Democrat National Committee contracted for millions of dollars, which again, during a presidential campaign, that's a lot of money, because as a presidential campaign, you're not actually able to take millions and millions of dollars from big donors. It's $2,700 per person, $5,400 per couple. So think about that. The money that you raise in a presidential campaign, is you have to be a lot more careful with it. You have to be a lot more deliberate with it. So Hillary Clinton made an investment, a multi-million dollar investment, to Fusion GPS to get something out of it. Now, all this hysteria is all around a singular meeting that Donald Trump Jr. took in Trump Tower. In that meeting, I'm going to butcher this name horribly, Russian lawyer Natalia Veselnikaya, who, of course, you've probably seen her image many times on cable TV, met with Donald Trump Jr. They met. Nothing came out of it. The meeting ended in 20 minutes. Now, according to transcripts released by the Senate Judiciary Committee, they say that Glenn Simpson, the co-founder of that opposition research firm, Fusion GPS, get this, had dinner with Russian lawyer Natalia Veselnikaya. Again, I'm so sorry for butchering that name. I have to brush up on my Russian. Let's just call her Russian lawyer Natalia. How about that? Both the day before and the day after she met with Donald Trump Jr. at Trump Tower on June 9th, 2016. So wait a second. Hillary Clinton spends millions of dollars on opposition research to the Steele dossier with faulty intelligence. Not an insignificant sum. Again, this is not the Clinton Foundation where she can take tens of millions of dollars from foreign governments. This is a presidential campaign where you can only take money $2,700 at a time. They need to be very, very careful with that money. So with that kind of very careful money, in politics, we call that hard money. Money that you can take unlimited amounts in 501c4s or in PACs is typically called soft money. So she used hard money. It's called hard money because it's hard to get. It's harder to raise because you have to raise it in $2,700 increments. So she used millions of dollars in hard money that could have been used in advertisements, that could have been used in visits to Michigan, that could have been used in visits to Wisconsin. So I want you to think about this. Instead of actually running a grassroots operation in Michigan, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, states that she nearly lost Minnesota and she lost Michigan, she lost Wisconsin, she lost Pennsylvania. Instead of running advertisements in those states, instead of producing mailers, she decides to pay an opposition research firm with a former British spy, a gun for hire, to do what? To try to frame Donald Trump. That's what. A very strategic and deliberate investment. But again, I want to reiterate what I just said. The lawyer that was there, Natalia V, she met with the co-founder of Fusion GPS the day before the June 9th meeting and the day after the June 9th meeting with Donald Trump Jr. in 2016. That sure sounds like a setup, doesn't it? Or is that just another coincidence? Oh no, it's just a coincidence that the top level senior official at the FBI, Bruce Orr, that his wife also works for Fusion GPS. That's just a coincidence. Oh, it's also just a coincidence that this dossier, this piece of debunked garbage opposition research that was funded by Hillary Clinton for millions of dollars was used to spy on Donald Trump. That's just a coincidence. It goes back to our previous episode that I encourage all of you to listen to. The media thinks you are stupid. The media thinks you are stupid to not be able to connect all these dots together, to not be able to say, huh, let me get this straight. The co-founder of Fusion GPS met the day before and the day after with the woman that met with Donald Trump Jr. that then led to all this, that Fusion GPS was the one that concocted this dossier that was then used as foreign intelligence information to a FISA court judge to spy and surveil on Donald Trump. We're just supposed to believe that it's just a coincidence that Peter Strzok and his lover Lisa Page were texting back and forth about an insurance policy, about how they didn't want Donald Trump to be president. You put all these dots together, it looks very clear in any objective observation with anyone that is fair with the facts that Donald Trump and his son, the great Donald Trump Jr., the Trump campaign, was getting set up by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee. And if Donald Trump was the one trying to frame Hillary Clinton, could you imagine if Donald Trump paid for a dossier to try to get foreign intelligence to frame Hillary Clinton? Mueller would have then had a lot to do then with President Trump. Could you imagine if Donald Trump contracted an opposition research firm, that person met with Chelsea Clinton, and then the day before that meeting with Chelsea Clinton and the day after with Chelsea Clinton, that opposition research firm met with that individual? Could you imagine the media hysteria and uproar? And so when the president gets very defensive with Clinton campaign operative and former White House director of communications for the Clinton White House, George Stephanopoulos, I just have to keep on reminding you of that because he's anything but neutral and he's anything but objective. When he gets defensive for good reason because he's been set up and his family has been unfairly persecuted for just trying to make our country a better place, and they have committed none of the crimes that they are accused of, yet in fact, it's the exact opposite. It's the people accusing them of the crimes that have committed them in the first place. The more that gets declassified and the more information we learn around this, we are going to finally see that it was Hillary Clinton, the Democrat National Committee, Samantha Powers, Loretta Lynch, all the Clinton allies, the people involved at the highest levels of government, Peter Strzok, Bruce Orr and his wife, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Christopher Steele, that colluded, that's correct, I'm using that word colluded together, to go after Donald Trump to make sure that he would not become president to enact their insurance policy. And I cannot wait to have justice be held up against these self-righteous anti-Trump operatives that have done everything they can to destroy him to now have the rule of law be put against them. And one last thing I just want to reiterate. When Hillary Clinton was asked about this, she said this, quote, "It's part of what happens in a campaign where you get information that may or may not be useful and you try to make sure everything you put out in the public arena is accurate." She continued, "So this thing didn't come out until after the election and it's still being evaluated. When Trump got the nomination of the Republican Party, the people doing it came to my campaign lawyer and said, would you like us to continue it? He said, yes. He's an experienced lawyer. He knows what the law is. He knows what opposition research is," end quote. So there's Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State of the United States of America, Hillary Clinton, saying this is just something that happens in campaigns. The very same thing that they are actually trying to use the Mueller, they were trying to use the Mueller report for, the same thing that they spent $30 million for, Hillary Clinton just brushes it off. Oh, it's just part of what happens in a campaign where you get information that may or may not be useful from foreign actors. The very same thing that the president just talked about with Clinton campaign operative, George Stephanopoulos, who's not a journalist, but a Clinton campaign operative, where he said, wait a second, this is what just happens in campaigns. Hillary Clinton said that word for word. Hillary Clinton said word for word the very same thing that the media is attacking Donald Trump for. Hillary Clinton said word for word the very same thing, that they are trying to insinuate corruption towards the president. Rep. Jerry Nadler, who's a real beauty, said on Twitter the other day, quote, "It is shocking to hear the president say outright that he's willing to put himself in debt to a foreign power, not to mention the foreign interference in an American election part," end quote. That is exactly what Hillary Clinton said. That's what happens in the campaign. Hillary Clinton brushed it off as no big deal. But of course, if the left did not have double standards, they would have no standard at all. There we have what's called Democrat privilege in our country. Do you know what Democrat privilege is? It means if you're a Democrat, you can commit crimes and get away with it, like taking millions of dollars from Russia and then selling our uranium to them, or giving a speech for 30 minutes if you're Bill Clinton to a Russian bank and getting a $500,000 honorarium. By the way, I've heard Bill Clinton speak before. He's not worth $500,000 for 30 minutes. Pay for play, and then all of a sudden sell the uranium to Russia. Or if you're Bill Clinton, meet with Loretta Lynch in a private plane 2 days before his wife, then presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, was running for president, gets acquitted by the FBI for no wrongdoing, exonerated, if you will, meets privately on that plane in Phoenix, Arizona with then acting Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and nothing comes of it. There's no investigation. The media kind of scoffs it off. That's called Democrat privilege. It means you can push the boundaries of the law. It means you can break laws at times, and nothing happens to you. And thanks to Attorney General Bill Barr, justice will soon be served. Is your dad a Trump supporter? Now, everyone, this is such a cool product you've heard about me talk about before. It's Father's Day, and whether you love him or you hate him, Donald Trump is our 45th president and is making history in our lifetime. Moved the embassy to Jerusalem, canceled the Iran deal, deregulated our economy, largest tax cut in American history, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. Whatever you think of, Donald Trump has achieved it, and now you have an opportunity to support the president, support the Charlie Kirk Show, and actually preserve your wealth. A minted, exclusive collector's piece, the Trump Freedom Coin. One side depicts an image of Donald J. Trump, while the other side lists all of his major achievements. At less than $40 for each silver coin, this makes the perfect gift for dads and grads. This commemorative limited edition 1 ounce silver coin is the only presidential coin made up of 99.9% silver, not silver plating, and IRA approved. As the price of silver rises, so will the value of these coins. And here's the amazing thing. We're going to give you a discount on it, so we're literally giving you $5. Think about it, because this coin is worth more than the actual discount. It's worth it. So you're going to, it's not like you're just buying a product and you use it once and that's it. This retains wealth. This preserves your wealth. So I'm literally giving you free money. So go to TrumpCoin2020.com and use the code Kirk to get $5 off now. So it's $5 off, and it preserves your wealth, and it goes up in time. It's a great investment, and you look good doing it. You could show all your friends that you have a Trump coin. Pretty cool, isn't it? That's TrumpCoin2020.com. It's the perfect gift for your dad and for anyone in your family. Go to TrumpCoin2020.com. By the way, the left, they support all their stuff. They buy Obama shirts. They do this. If you like the president, preserve your wealth, get some free money, and defend the president, support the Charlie Kirk Show by going TrumpCoin2020.com. Use the code Kirk. Get $5 off now. You won't regret it. All right, before we get to the dumbest tweet of the week, and that's right, I do have an award for the dumbest tweet of the week, and there were a lot of beauties this week, by the way. I'll tell you, there is some stuff out there that, again, and to kind of use the Olympic analogy, I wish I could give out unlimited amount of gold medals for the dumbest tweet of the week, and I will get to it, and we have the award. But I do want to just say that I take this Fusion GPS, this idea of colluding with a foreign government, so personally and seriously. And on mute right now, I'm watching Chuck Schumer talk about how Donald Trump is corrupting our country and that he's an existential threat to America. By the way, let's play some sound right now on how many times do I have to hear the media use the word existential. Existential is their new collusion. It's kind of like orange is the new black. Existential is the new collusion. Now that collusion has been debunked, now that collusion has been completely debarred by facts. Huh, go figure. Existential is the new collusion. Let's listen to some sound.
I believe that the president is literally an existential threat.
So from the standpoint of an existential threat?
This president being an existential threat to our republic.
The former vice president is set to tell audiences that he believes Mr. Trump is, quote, an existential threat to America.
So yeah, as you can say, that's kind of the new vogue term. Donald Trump is an existential threat to our democracy. Donald Trump is an existential threat to our country. I don't even think some of these guys can spell the word existential. That's okay. I would probably struggle with spelling it too. But they use this word so flippantly, and they hear it on Morning Joe, or they'll hear it on CNN, like, oh, that sounds good. That's what he is. He's an existential threat. You know, he didn't collude with a foreign power, but he's an existential threat. So before we get to the dumbest tweet of the week, I just want to reinforce to you guys, I take this stuff so personally because I'm friends with Donald Trump Jr. I traveled on the campaign with him. As I mentioned in the previous segment, you know, we went to state after state, flying coach together, eating Snicker bars and drinking Diet Cokes and, you know, making, stretching every dollar that we could, going from college campus to Indian reservations to podunk Tea Party meetings in Arizona, whatever it took to get votes, whatever it took to take another 500 selfies and do another radio interview, I was there. And now all of a sudden I see a guy that I really got to know well and see a guy that I know wants best for this country and know just wants to help help his father make our country great again and bring our country back to greatness. And how is that returned? It's returned with an entire wing of the American discourse, which is the American media, which is nothing more than the Praetorian Guard. And if those of you that don't know what the Praetorian Guard for the Democrat Party, if you don't know what the Praetorian Guard is or was, the Praetorian Guard was essentially like the United States Secret Service for Roman consuls and Roman emperors. So the Praetorian Guard were the best warriors. The Praetorian Guard were the best trained fighters of the time. And they were promoted all the way up with the ability and the privilege to be able to protect the emperor, protect the consul. Of course, while Rome was a republic and then they went into an empire. We are going to do an episode on that later. But the media is the Praetorian Guard of the Democrat Party. And they do whatever they possibly can to demean and demagogue. And so when I see Clinton campaign operative George Stephanopoulos dare to ask about this, when in reality his best friends, the people that he used to work for, the people that he's very cozy with, did the exact thing that he is asking the president about, it drives me in a very frustrating place. It drives me to a frustrating place because I know that the Trump family wants what's best for our country. I know that the Trump family wants what's best for the future of our country. And look, Democrats get high marks for walking in lockstep in messaging. Some propaganda sends out a talking point, and they all parrot the exact same message. Collusion, obstruction, now existential threat, no matter what it is. And it's almost as if it goes through, it's almost like a clamoring echo. Oh, collusion, 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 collusion. Obstruction, 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 obstruction. They all just kind of have to parrot one another because they can't have an objective thought because the media cannot actually do what journalists are supposed to do, which is analyze the facts, challenge the status quo, and put forth truth. Instead, what they have to do is advance a narrative, protect an agenda, and enshrine the ruling class. That is what the media tries to do at every single turn. All right, so now let's move on to the dumbest tweet of the week. That's right. And when I saw this one, I had to put down my phone. I was in Colorado, beautiful Colorado. And again, there's so many beauties out there. And when these Democrats are running for president, it's almost as if they have a competition. I call it the Trump-hating Olympics and who can give out the most stuff. And so the dumbest tweet of the week comes from, drumroll, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Oh boy, she really does amaze me of how much attention she can get considering she's at 0% in the polls. It's amazing how much attention an individual can get for having no support. It really is incredible. So here was her tweet. I'm going to read it word for word. Quote, from Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, the dumbest tweet of the week. Here's an idea, : if you win 13-0, the most goals for a single game in World Cup history, you should be paid at least equally to the men's team. Congratulations, # USWNT, ! So I'm laughing because I know exactly what she's trying to say here. So she's trying to connect two completely unrelated events. Again, this is so typical of the left. They will connect two completely unrelated events into an overarching narrative that they always try to push in advance. So let's start with the narrative. What's the narrative? The narrative is that women are not paid the same as men, and men exist in a patriarchy, and there is either overt or a subtext of oppression towards females, and that we need to have a national bill that is passed for male and female pay equity, that men should not be able to earn more than women, so on and so forth. Okay, so let's break this down. First of all, there is a law on the books that does not allow gender-based pay discrimination. It was signed by JFK. It's been the law of the land for some time now, that if an employer pays a man more than a woman simply because of their gender or their sex, that is illegal. That is pay discrimination. Same as if an employer pays a woman more than a man, that is illegal. So that law already exists. So the narrative that Kirsten Gillibrand is trying to advance is this faulty economic myth, one of the biggest economic myths of our time, which is called the gender wage pay gap. Now, the gender wage pay gap essentially is this lie that women earn 76 cents for every dollar that a man earns. And so if you break it down actually into the data, it doesn't factor in how long each of those, if you take the sample set of two individuals, because remember, data is nothing more than a collection of individual inserts into a data set. So there's always outliers, but they say that a woman on average in the same profession will earn 76% of what a man earns. So for example, when you take into account the two individuals of what they study in college, it starts to have a lot more clarity. So let's just take a step backwards here. And again, we are talking about the dumbest tweet of the week by sitting United States Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. And I'm going to go back to exactly why it's the dumbest tweet, and we'll break it out. But we're going to start about what narrative she's trying to advance. She's trying to advance the narrative that women are paid significantly less than men, which, first of all, is not correct and not true, because when you factor in job experience, education, variety of choices of what they actually worked before in prior jobs and how long they've been at that job, the wage gap nearly disappears. In fact, it favors women. But let's build this out a little bit further of exactly if there is a discrepancy and when there's a discrepancy, what can be credited for that discrepancy. And it's not sexism. So for example, what you study in college will have a big impact on how much your earning potential will be for the next 5, 10, or 15 years. So the five majors in college that have the highest earning potential are the following: petroleum engineering, pharmaceutical sciences, mathematics and computer science, aerospace engineering, and chemical engineering. Those are the five majors that have the highest earning potential in our economy for the next 5, 10, 15, or 20 years. Now, let's go through that list again. Petroleum engineering, pharmaceutical sciences, mathematics and computer science, aerospace engineering, chemical engineering. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're a college student or soon-to-be college graduate, or you're a soon-to-be college student, you're thinking about what to study, maybe these five things would be a good thing to study. Now, let's go through that. Petroleum engineering, 87% male. Mathematics and computer sciences, 67% male. Aerospace engineering, 88% male. Chemical engineering, 72% male. Pharmaceutical sciences, the only one out of the five that is not male-dominated, 48% male. Now, women will naturally choose different majors. We'll get that in a second. Men are much more likely to go into STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. I went to a STEM high school growing up. I never was a big fan of STEM, but the data shows that petroleum engineering, mathematics, computer sciences, pharmaceutical sciences, aerospace engineering, chemical engineering are the five best performing majors. Now, let's juxtapose that with the five worst performing majors. Now, remember, the five best performing majors, four out of five of them are heavily male dominated. Now, the five worst performing college majors: number one, counseling and psychology. Number two, early childhood education. Number three, theology and religious studies. Number four, community organizing. And number five, social work. So number one, counseling and psychology, 74% female. Number two, early childhood education, 97% female. Number three, theology and religious studies. That's one of the five that is male dominated, 66% male. Four, community organizing, 81% female. And finally, social work, 88% female. Now, the great Jordan Peterson had a conversation with Kathy Newman that many of you have probably seen, where he says you have to talk about many contributing factors when you talk about the gender wage pay gap. And just saying it's sexism and just saying it's the patriarchy or just saying it's a prejudice is the reason that this is happening, when actually the data itself is highly flawed when you factor in education, work experience, so on and so forth, if you're not doing what he calls a multivariate analysis, it's not fair. It's not accurate, and it's not true. So you go through the top five highest earning majors, they're heavily male dominated, and the lowest five earning majors, they're heavily female dominated. So even with that being said, even with the discrepancy in the top five highest earning majors out of college and the top five lowest earning majors in college, there's another contributing factor. Men are much less likely to voluntarily leave the workforce to go have children or to go raise a family. Women in their late 20s, for those of you listening to the Charlie Kirk Show in your late 20s, understand your late 20s and early 30s is the highest potential to move up in corporate life. You're going to make the biggest financial and economic gains and changes in your late 20s and early 30s. Why is that? Well, because you have the unique mixture of the highest amount of energy, the most clarity of thought, very aspirational. You probably have 5 or 6 years of experience under your belt, and you've earned the trust of the people in your company or in your business or your coworkers. It's a really unique blend. So even with all that being said, women in their 20s, is according to Forbes.com, women in their 20s without children out-earn men by as much as $1.08 to every dollar, according to some estimates. So I want you to understand that, that women in their 20s without children earn more than men in their 20s. So actually, when women decide to not go have children, when women decide not to voluntarily leave the workforce, they actually earn more than men. Well, it's not sexism that people think women are earning less than men, which they aren't, because we've already debunked that statistic. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's economics. It's the price system. It's experience, and it's employment. And we will get back to the dumbest tweet of the week, and I'm going to go back why it's all what also is behind and kind of the context behind Senator Kirsten Gillibrand's point here. But we have to talk about the data and the facts behind this. And I'll say one last thing. Here are seven places in America where a woman earns a lot more than a man. In Chamblee, Georgia, I have some friends there, a woman earns 137% more than a man. In Lake Worth, Florida, great place, 121% of a man. In Plainfield, New Jersey, 118% of a man. In Trenton, New Jersey, 114% of a man. In Inglewood, California, 114% of a man. In the Village of Hempstead, New York, I've been there, 111% of a man. Prince George County, Maryland, again, nice place, 103% of a man. Source, American Community Survey, 2012 to 2016. Stateline analysis, 5-year average for full-time, year-round workers. Pew Charitable Trust study. Those are seven places where women are earning more than men, substantially more than men. So there's outliers for all that. You can go into the reasons of why that is, but it's not like it's not happening anywhere. So back to Kirsten Gillibrand's tweet. So again, she's trying to connect this singular tweet. Let's read it again. Here's an idea. If you win 13-0, the most goals for a single game in the World Cup history, you should be paid at least equally to the men's team. Congratulations. So all that data that I just shared with you, she's trying to connect a lie that has been created and advanced by the media. She's trying to connect a sporting event, which again, leave it to the left to connect two things that are totally unrelated to advance a political cause. Now, mind you, the women's team in the World Cup is not earning less than men because they're women. The women's team is earning less than men because less people watch women's soccer. The Washington Post reported in 2015 that women's soccer only brought in $17 million in ad sponsorship for Fox Sports, while the men's final in 2014 brought ESPN $529 million in ad revenue. Furthermore, the men's World Cup generated $4.5 billion in direct revenue to FIFA. Now, mind you, did you know that the women's team actually gets a higher percentage of revenue than the men's team? Oh my goodness, so the women are actually earning more as a percentage than the male team. But Kirsten Gillibrand wants to make it seem as if there's a patriarchy, that there's inequality. Now, mind you, it'd be one thing. Let's go back to her tweet. Here's an idea. If you win 13-0, the most goals for a single game in World Cup history, you should be paid at least equally to the men's team. It'd be one thing if they won 13-0 against a men's team. It'd be one thing if they beat the men's team 13-0. Then you'd start to say, well, this might make a little sense. They beat another female team. The score is completely and totally irrelevant to your entire thing. If they won 13-0 or 1-0, it doesn't mean anything. And also, you don't talk about how women dominate the medical profession, how women are making significant strides in the medical field at a remarkably positive pace. So congratulations to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand for the dumbest tweet of the week, and thank you for opening the door to allow me the opportunity to share with our audience the lies around the gender wage pay gap and also some of the truth around it. And we'll see who will win the dumbest tweet of the week next week. But Kirsten Gillibrand, this one's going to be tough to beat. Here's why I'm a big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe is ready for anything, that's right, anything that gets thrown at it. If a storm takes out your power, Simply Safe is ready. If an intruder cuts your phone line, Simply Safe is ready. Say they destroy your keypad or siren, Simply Safe will still get you the help that you need. Here's what I love about this. Maybe it's overkill. Maybe you don't need to be ready for every worst case scenario. But Simply Safe is always ready, just in case. That's what makes it so great. Now, Simply Safe could cost an arm and a leg. It should, but it doesn't. And that's why they're good people. They charge you what's fair, what's right, $14.99 a month. There's no contracts, no hidden fees. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. You've got to check it out. This product is incredible. Go to simplysafe.com/Charlie. That's simplysafe.com/Charlie. All right, everybody, I want to get into your questions. I just want to thank everyone first for subscribing, giving us those 5-star ratings, and for leaving questions. And we love answering your questions. We love interacting with you. If you haven't done so already, please give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or whatever platform you're listening. Please press subscribe and leave us some questions. And so one of our listeners here says, is there any hope for California and how can it be saved? Well, look, California is a perfect example of how the immigration issue has basically taken over the entire state. And so what happens is over a long period of time, you have millions and millions of illegals going to California. And while they can't legally vote, even though I've heard from many people that more illegals are voting than we ever would realize, they have kids in over 10, 15 years and 20 years. Those kids become of age and they can vote because we have birthright citizenship. So over many decades, California has slowly but surely become a deep blue state. And so is there hope for California? Of course there's hope for California because conservative principles can and always win. Now, am I optimistic about the short-term future of California? No, but you have to chip your way towards the top. And so start in Orange County. Orange County is turf that has been taken away from Republicans. Orange County is turf that has been taken away from conservatives. And Orange County is an amazing historic stronghold for conservative values and principles that now has all 5 congressional districts in Orange County now have Democrat representatives. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast anywhere in the country, you want to get engaged and get involved, and you want to do something, please be a poll watcher. Please get involved in doing anti-voter fraud efforts because the amount of ballot harvesting, the amount of corruption around our elections, voter fraud is real. Voter fraud is happening. Voter fraud is impacting our elections. And so get engaged as a poll watcher. And if I'm really supposed to believe when 100 million plus people vote that there is not voter fraud, I just don't believe that at all. There's voter election fraud. There's voter registration fraud. And you can go through all the different ways that our elections can be and have been corrupted. And I encourage all of you to get engaged in that. And I think California is a place that needs it more than ever. And if we're serious about making sure Nancy Pelosi is no longer Speaker of the House, it has to go through California. You got to win 2, if not 3 seats back in Orange County. Another question here from one of our loyal viewers. He asks a lot. I think it's a he. We don't know. Asks a lot of questions. Good day, Charlie. Maybe he's or she is Australian. My sister keeps showing the CNN 15-minute news clip to her 7th grade class. Is there a better option out there? Something less left-leaning indoctrination message. Thank you. Love the podcast. So I'm guessing this person's sister is a teacher of a 7th grade class. Of course, there's something less left-wing than CNN. I mean, I would suggest basically anything. It's so hard to find, though, kind of the daily news update that isn't far left-wing. I would suggest, of course, Fox News. Fox News is really good to me and really good to us, and I think does a terrific job delivering the news. And Brett Baird's show, I think, would be really fair to show every day to the 7th grade news class, or OAN and many others that are doing a great job of just showing the news and showing really fair analysis, but not showing CNN. CNN is what I call destination journalism, where they start with the headline in mind and they work backwards. So they headline, Donald Trump should be impeached. All right, well, what unrelated facts can we do to fit this narrative? Again, going back to the Kirsten Gillibrand deal, they try to find independent facts to try to fit a pre-existing narrative so they can try to debase and destabilize Donald Trump. And finally, Prager University. We're great friends with Prager University at Turning Point USA. I encourage your sister to please show PragerU videos instead of showing fake news CNN. Another question from one of our listeners. And again, please leave your questions. Give it those 5 stars. We like to take them. We're going to start taking them at least once a week. Here's the question is, I moved from Kansas to Washington a few years ago. The two states are worlds apart in so many ways. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how left coast homeless crisis, drug crisis, and your proposed solutions. People in Seattle love to blame Amazon, Boeing, and other big companies headquartered here for homelessness. What do you say to those people? Love the podcast. Thank you so much, Jackie. We appreciate it. So she obviously came from the state of Washington, not the colony of, what do you want to call it, the District of Columbia, or the elitist entrenched swamp of D.C., whatever you want to call it. So I'll start with this. And the username is Jackie Dirt, to be specific. So one of the things that we talk about a lot is, just because someone gets rich does not mean someone gets poor. So I'm a huge critic of Amazon, and I've been recently a really big critic of Boeing and their crony capitalism and the lack of competition and lack of entrepreneurship around those kind of companies, and how Amazon pays zero in federal income tax, how Amazon is on the verge of securing a $10 billion contract, which could be upwards of $100 billion over the next 10 years. That's cronyism. But just because Amazon is getting richer does not mean that the rest of Seattle is getting poor. I don't understand how someone can make the argument that Amazon is growing rapidly, therefore it creates more homeless people. That to me does not resonate with me whatsoever. Just because people are getting goods quicker and cheaper does not mean that the homeless crisis will expand dramatically. Homelessness is a very, very big issue in this country, specifically on the West Coast. One of the big reasons for homelessness is we push pharmaceuticals way too much in our country. We get people addicted to opioids. We get people addicted to these horrible painkillers. And as a byproduct, it destroys their lives, destroys their homes, and they end up becoming homeless. And we also do not have effective ways to treat mental health outside of over addiction to prescription medication. And you see all the horrible byproducts of that and the societal damage that it does. And so those are worlds apart. You look at Washington to Kansas, I would much rather be in Kansas than in Washington. So the final question from Jose.RJ says the podcast is excellent and informative. Well, thank you, Jose. I love how Charlie explains many of the concepts and ideas he shares, making this podcast very accessible. Here's his question. Hey, Charlie, my oldest daughter will be 18 come the 2020 election. She has recently gotten very passionate about the pro-life message. Good for her, Jose. Could you recommend a good book for me to get for her? Much appreciated. Keep up the excellent work. Well, first, I would recommend Lila Rose. Lila Rose is one of the great pro-life thinkers and pro-life speakers out there. She has a terrific podcast out there. Also, you can go to liveaction.org/learn/resources, and you can get all the information you need about the pro-life subject. We've done shows about the abortion and pro-life in the past, and the pro-life message, and just how focused the Democrats are on advancing the abortion industry is just so concerning. And I just love this new generation's enthusiasm and fervor around their commitment to life, and tell her not to back down and don't believe the lies of the left when it comes to abortion. Well, that's a wrap, everybody. We appreciate you tuning into the Charlie Kirk Show. Please submit your questions. As you can see, we do take them. We are committed to the facts, the truth, and unfiltered opinion. Please give us those 5 stars. Visit tpusa.com. We have a huge upcoming show where we're going to be doing it from the Teenage Student Action Summit. We're going to be trying to do a show every single day in Washington, D.C. at Turning Point USA. If you are listening and you're a teenager, that means early college or anytime in high school, or you have kids in that age bracket, go to tpusa.com/TSAS. That's TSAS. tpusa.com/TSAS to get engaged, get involved, fill it out. We would love to have you attend. We so appreciate your engagement and enthusiasm with our show. We are surging on the charts thanks to your help. Stick it to the left. You don't want the left to win the narrative war. If you think this podcast is important, if you listen to this podcast, you're like, you know what? I want more people to listen to this. You know how you can help? Give us 5 stars, write a review. That helps boost us in the charts more than you can ever imagine. We appreciate you guys so much. Get engaged with Turning Point, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Hey, everybody, there's a new podcast I want to tell you about. It's a case nightmares are made out of. It's the frightening story of a DC power couple, their 10-year-old son, and housekeeper who were held hostage tortured, and brutally murdered inside their burning D.C. mansion. You won't believe what happened during those last 22 hours alive and the shocking trail of evidence that led police to the killer. Did he have help? Hear from key witnesses who reveal never-before-heard details. Will this investigation lead to the release of newly discovered and confidential audio recordings so the public can hear the trial for the first time ever? You have to check it out. Download 22 Hours, an American Nightmare, now available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. New episodes every Monday.